Hello. My favorite group ever. You are so wonderful. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm really glad that I'm here. More importantly, Jesus is glad that we're all here. Amen. He just loves the sight of you. The scripture says he loves the sound of your voice. Isn't that something? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be so transformed in him that you can look at somebody and say to them, Gail, this is the sound of your voice ravishes my heart. And not feel weird and insecure about that. Because you know the reason we can't do those kind of things? It's hard to give. What you freely receive is what you freely give. That doesn't just mean what you get for free. It means like what you're just freely receiving. What you're allowing to come. We freely give what we freely receive. And so this story today is going to be about that. In my time with the Lord this morning, I was just reading through John 13. We may never get out of John 13. It may be the last thing I ever do in my life is John 13. But I was reading through this story in John 13 again, and I was just fascinated with this place. When Jesus is washing their feet, and then it says in verse 6, and so he came to Simon Peter and said to him, and Simon Peter said to Jesus, Lord, do you wash my feet? Now, why would Simon Peter say that? What was the problem? You have to understand that in the day of Christ, whenever a guest would come into your home, the servants that you had would wash the feet of the people who came in. Because they were important as guests. Philippians chapter 2 says that do nothing from selfishness or empty self-glory, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Have this mind in you attitude, which is also in Christ Jesus. And so for Jesus, the Messiah, to get on his hands and knees, stripped down to his loincloth, washing their feet, was him saying to them, you're more important than me. I regard you as more important than me. Now for God to think we're so significant that the only way to rescue us was for him to become human, to bear us and carry us into the place of redemption, is that God saying, I regard you. See, love takes humility. The chief characteristics of love is humility. That in humility of mind, I regard you as more important than me. Stunning. And Peter, he said, Lord, you wash my feet like you're some servant. And Jesus answered and said, what I do, you do not realize now, but you shall understand hereafter. There's so many things I want to share with you today, but we don't have time. Why did John record this story? See, the Gospel of Luke was kind of Paul's gospel from the stuff he had gathered, information. Of course, Matthew's was Matthew's gospel. He was one of the apostles. Mark was Peter's gospel. He wrote that for Peter. And many years later, when he's 95 years old, John writes the gospel. The other three haven't already been written. Why wasn't this story in Peter's gospel? Why was it in Mark's gospel? At the end of this book, John closes it with Peter's restoration, of Jesus reaffirming his calling, with Jesus saying, do you love me? And Peter saying, Jesus saying, do you love me with perfect love? That's the language. And Peter going, I love you, but it's with imperfect love. And then Jesus asked him again, do you love me with perfect love? Lord, I love you with imperfect love. And then Jesus says again, do you love me with imperfect love? And Peter said, Lord, you know all things. And you know I love you, even though it's not always perfect. And Jesus said the third time to him, feed my lambs. Why didn't Peter record that in his gospel? Why wasn't it there? Was it that Peter was maybe a little still embarrassed about those stories? Maybe carries a little shame? I don't know. But why John? Well, all those years later, having read Mark's gospel, John, Peter's gospel, and Matthew's gospel, and Luke's gospel, John wrote a lot of things he felt needed to be said that weren't said in those gospels. Because remember, his heart was John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time, but Jesus has explained him. Jesus has come to reveal the truth about the Father. And this gospel of John is just full of the revelation of the love of God. Just stunning. More than any other place in the Bible. Page after page after page. Because God is love. John said that. So why this? Why did he add these things? See, John, those of you who were here on Sunday, John had embraced the reality that he was the beloved. He said about himself 5 different times after laying his head on the breast of Jesus, he said, I am the disciple whom Jesus is always loving. That's the language. That was his identity. He had embraced that. He owned that. Now remember that John was initially, and his brother James were referred to as sons of thunder. There had been some transformation in this guy because he's always remembered historically as John the Beloved, not a son of thunder, but just warm-hearted, amazing guy who revealed the love of God. But I think that John told this parts of Peter's story, and maybe as Peter got older, he may have thought, man, I should have added that. I don't know. John was in the Isle of Patmos for years, isolated. It was important to John. TC and I talked a little bit this morning. It was important to John that we all knew, that we all know that we're the disciple whom Jesus is always loving. It wasn't just about him. It was true about him. He had embraced that. He believed that. He accepted that. As hard as it is to believe, he had once been a son of thunder. He wasn't perfect. If you remember, those of you who were here Sunday at CTK, in verse 5 of Revelation 1, when John's 93 years old, he says, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Man, there's so much in that verse, that statement. The firstborn from the dead. Now, hear what he says. He's the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who's always loving us and release us from our sins by his blood. At 93, John's wanting them to know, look, I'm not the only beloved. You're the beloved. Now, when he says that about, when Peter says this, he says, when Jesus says to Peter, what I do now, you don't realize, but hereafter, you will understand. What happened hereafter? Peter's famous failure. He's the leader of the group, and he denies Christ 3 times. In his gospel, Mark, that's the only place where it actually says where Peter did admit, he didn't just deny Christ, but in his 3rd denial, he cursed and cursed and cursed in his denial. I mean, he reverted back to the old Peter before who knew Jesus, the fisherman. Fishermen are like that, you know. And so Jesus knew when he washed Peter's feet, there'll come a time when you'll understand that having your feet get washed, be washed, is important. You don't get it now, but you'll get it then about God's love and about his grace. And why did John put this story in here? Because John, again, remember the words. Jesus said, what I do now, you don't realize, but hereafter you will understand. There are just... Does God ever want us to fail? No. Does he plan us failing? No. But Jesus said to Peter in the same upper room experience in the Gospel of Luke, he said, Peter, Satan has obtained permission to sift you like wheat. But I'm praying for you that your faith won't fail. And when you turn again back, having failed, you will strengthen your brothers because you're not the only one who fails. You hear me? What does he mean your faith won't fail? That you won't get so into condemnation, shame, and guilt that your walk's been ruined. Did Jesus want Peter to fail? No. But did Satan obtain permission? And did Jesus know he was going to fail? Yes. And did Jesus use the failure? Yes. So what's the point of this thing? And when he came to Peter, Peter goes, Lord, you wash my feet. And Jesus said, look, what I do now, you don't realize, but hereafter you will understand they're just some things that Jesus knows we'll never understand until we're loved by him in the midst of failure. Jesus wanted John to write this because he wanted us to know. It's not just It's those who are like Peter who are the beloved also. That's profoundly important that you understand that. Jesus' love for us transcends our failures, and more than that, redeems them. Did I say to you that God wants us to fail? No. Did I say to you God chooses for us to fail? No. But is it true that there are just some things that we can't understand until we encounter the fact that we're still his beloved, that we are his beloved? We can't even understand that we're his beloved until we know his love in the midst of failure. If you struggle with what I just said, then I pray that the religious spirit that still haunts you, you'll be free from. Only John can tell this story. Peter wouldn't. And when John was an old man, he said, this has to be told. Because this is who God is. This is the truth about him. And what you believe about God is the most important thing about you. So maybe there are some people out here, like me, who have failed in your life at times. And the Lord wants you to know that you're the disciple whom Jesus is always loving, and it's got nothing to do with your performance. And that he's so good, he knows your heart. Peter told him when he was first called, Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Jesus didn't even respond to that. Instead, he called him by his nickname, Simon, Simon, follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. Because there are some people that only those who have failed and have discovered their belovedness, even then, there are some people that only that person can fish for. And you say, well, I really blew it. Then embrace your belovedness. Because, you see, the only reason that John can tell this story about Peter is that because only those who've embraced their own belovedness can give it away to others. Because freely what you receive is what you... In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.